All right, you ready? All right, we're going to start this up. Oh, what?
Huh?
What?
You asked if I was ready. I said, yeah, I reckon.
Oh. Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 34 for Wednesday, the 29th of April, 2015. This is a show where two lifelong friends talk about geek shit and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos, and this dude right there, that's Kent, man. How you doing?
It's good to be on the show. This is the highlight of my week.
Especially with weeks like this, right?
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, crazy, so I get the feeling that both of us have had such fucked up weeks that we are going to spend most of the show talking about our fucked up week.
I hope not. I don't want to talk about
shit else to say other than talk about fucked up week, so yeah. You better come up with something quick. Oh, man. All right, so tell me about your week real quick, man. Give it to me.
All right, so I've got about 2 weeks left to work. And the flight chief is on leave for both weeks.
That leaves
me in charge, which, you know, that's fine. I've been in charge. I was the flight chief for quite some time, basically until I announced my retirement, and then we kind of did a roll swaparoo. But man, this week has been. I've been to more meetings this week. And more to come. Like tomorrow, I think I'm solid booked for meetings from the time I get to work. Well, I'll get to work, check my email, take some notes, whatever, go to the meeting, my first meeting, and then I'll probably be in meetings until lunchtime.
That's awesome. You know,
and I think that's 3, maybe 4 meetings. And then Friday is a bunch of meetings and a commander's call and all kinds of other stuff. This morning I had to get up early to go to the chief's breakfast for all the senior NCOs. And followed by meetings and conferences and crap pretty much until lunchtime. And then,
basically you've got 2 weeks left and you're not going to get any actual work done. It's going to be all meetings about shit that you're not going to be around for.
Yeah, more or less. Well, I've got a bunch of flight chiefy stuff to do too. There's all sorts of personnel stuff coming up and, you know, things I got to handle. Yeah, it's just a lot of stuff. And I still got a little bit of out processing to do, but I don't know if that's going to happen. So we'll see. I'm going to do everything the day before my final out, I think.
Yeah, that sounds
probably
how
it's going to shake out.
That's good time. Yes,
it's been absolutely crazy. But hey, only 2 weeks left. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, 2 weeks until you were no longer employed. Congratulations. Then you get to start growing your beard long until your ceremony, then you got to shave it back off again.
And then I can start growing it for real.
Yeah, for reals. All 3 hairs.
For reals. For reals.
Yeah. All right, man. So my week was, I don't want to say similar, but just as busy, I think. My lovely bride had the great idea to have me accompany her on a class field trip. It was a camping trip. And as long as you went out there and saw one of the speakers, you get some extra credit points for a couple of her classes. I'm all about support. And plus, you know, it's just me and her. So it kind of gives a little couple time, you know.
Mm.
We go to hook up the trailer because, you know, why have a trailer if we're not going to use it? We go to hook up the trailer, and there's a jack on the front of the trailer that's electric that raises the trailer up and down, the hitch, so that you can get, mm-hmm. you know, actually hook up to the truck. We're lowering it down. We raised it up high enough to get a good truck underneath it. Then we're lowering it down onto the truck, and the gear snaps.
Oh.
And all of the weight of the trailer just comes tumbling down on the truck.
Oh, man.
Yeah, fun times. So we used the front scissor jacks to raise the trailer back up. And at that point, we're like, you know what? It's already hooked up. We'll just take it. And then if nothing else, we'll just take it straight to the repair shop when we get back from the camping trip, you know. We should have stopped there.
Oh, geez.
So we get out to the campsite, and we got the front scissor jacks holding the trailer up. And it's on fairly level ground. apparently not quite as level as I thought. And as we disconnect it from the truck, the scissor jacks collapse, completely collapse. And the only thing holding the trailer up from the ground is the fact that it's on the chains, on the safety chains. So luckily, a couple of the other people that were there, one of the guys had a car jack that was actually, another scissor jack, like your standard car jack. Because the one that's in my truck is like made specifically for my truck or something. And we jack it up. We get some wood blocks underneath it. We get it stabilized, get it put back on the truck, and it just sat on the truck overnight. We, the rear scissor jacks, we lowered those down, kept some stability into it. Get it back to the house, put it up in the driveway, and start ordering parts. So $400-some-odd later, and a full day of maintenance, my camper trailer now has four brand new scissor jacks on it. We went ahead and replaced the fronts and the backs. Has a brand new trailer jack on it, and I think I went a little bit overboard on all of it. My trailer weighs about 7,000 to 7,500 pounds loaded. The tongue weight on the trailer is 2,100 pounds. The jack, the trailer jack that I got on there, is rated at 4,500 pounds. So, like, twice the possible weight of the trailer. Okay, fine. The old scissor jacks were rated at 2,500 pounds each. Of course, that didn't hold up. The guy's car jack that he brought out of his trunk was heavier duty than the scissor jacks on the trailer from the factory.
Oh, my God.
So they were rated at 2,500 pounds. The ones I put on there rated at 6,500 pounds. Each of the four scissor jacks are almost capable or almost rated to carry the entire weight of the trailer. I don't think I'll have this problem again.
Yeah, well, at least that's the idea.
Yeah. Like I said, I may have gone a little bit overboard, but when you can get, 2,500 pound scissor jacks for $100, but you can get 6,500 pound scissor jacks for $120, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
So that's how I spent the last couple days. We had a great weekend. We did record the first episode of a new podcast that her and I are going to start doing. Whenever I get the chance to edit it and find proper intro music and all that stuff. And going to be a podcast about spouses and members going without each other for extended periods of time. Kind of military specific, but you can really relate it to multiple aspects. I mean, different jobs. A lot of these guys around here work on the oil rigs, and they go out there for 3 weeks to 3 months at a time. And, we want to kind of relate to everybody, but we're going to keep it specific to our family and the things that we go through, because we don't want to be talking out of our ass. So,
Right. Well, it's definitely going to be something interesting to listen to. I will absolutely be tuning into that.
Right.
And not only that, but I think it's going to be therapeutic for the two of you.
That's kind of what I'm hoping is. It's going to keep things on the table that normally wouldn't be on the table, things that might get forgotten or whatever else. And it'll be kind of a catalog of my trip to Korea and how we deal with different aspects of it. Money, communication, travel, timing, just little things like that. Birthdays, all that kind of stuff. So,
Right.
Of course, the first hurdle to that will be actually timing it so that we can actually record the podcast.
Yeah. But, yeah.
You know, all things come in time. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Fun week for both of us, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Oh, and not to mention that I hooked up the external water to the trailer once we got to the campsite, and there's a water leak. Now, we just took our trailer into the trailer shop.
Yeah.
We just got it out like last week. Or 2 weeks ago. But anyway, we just got it out of there. And they did a pressure check on the whole system, said everything was fine. They checked my work on the pressure or the water pump that I had done, said everything was fine. I hook it up to the water there at the campsite, and I've got my little pressure limiter on there and everything else. And we noticed a slow trickle coming out of where the water pump is.
There's always something.
Yeah. Luckily, my white water tank had some water in it, and we didn't need to do any cooking or anything else. We noticed the water leak after we did our showers. So after that, it was just flushing the toilet, and we just used the normal pump, like the battery or the electric operated pump, and leaving that on didn't seem to have any problems. So there's something with the external line. Yay.
Wow. So
good.
So that was pretty much your week, huh?
Crazy. Yes.
Stuff.
Oh, and I forgot to mention, when I brought the trailer back to the house, pulled in front of the house and was like, you know what? Instead of like trying to back it into this really awkward angle and everything else, I'm just gonna go around to the other way, loop around through the neighborhood, come back to down my street the opposite way, so that I can use the neighbor's driveway to pull in and then just back into my driveway. By the way, great idea. I don't know why we didn't use it the five other times we pulled the son of a bitch into the fucking driveway. Way, way simpler. And less hazardous on the trailer itself. Like, shit wasn't, like, buckling under and everything else. Regardless, I'm going down the street, down my street right here, and I found a fucking turtle in the road. A turtle.
Okay.
And not like a little one. Not like a, you know, a palm-sized one. This thing was longer than my shoe and almost as wide, going through the middle of the road. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a turtle squish in the side, like in the road. It's not a good sight. So I went ahead and picked it up, put it in the back of my trailer. Damn thing was fighting me for a while. Like, I had to put it down because it's scraping my hands and stuff. And and it crawled into my truck. It took me forever to rescue the son of a bitch. Put it in the back of the truck, got the trailer unloaded in the driveway, took my son out to the pond out here on base. Didn't put it in the water because I'm not an idiot, but it did put it close to the water to where it could, you know, have whatever habitat this particular turtle chooses, it's there for it. Mm-hmm. So we went and did that, and that was pretty cool. But yeah, that thing was feisty, man. I didn't know turtles were that, like, ornery. That thing.
Oh yeah, they can be. Yeah.
I'm not saying it was a snapping turtle, but it was definitely like trying to chomp at me. And every time it chomped, it was making a click. I was like, I'm not testing that. You know, I'm not playing that game. Man. Holy shit. So right. That was pretty cool. Yeah, anyway, that was my week. There you go.
So last week you were rescuing people. This week, rescuing turtles.
And I got rescued by some dude with a jack in his truck. So it kind of works out. Go. Like karma.
Lots of rescuing.
Yeah. Oh, man, I couldn't imagine, like, dragging that trailer out of there just by the chains.
Oh, God. Oh, that would not have been pretty sight.
We were, like, an hour away from the house, and just once you get to the park that we were at, it was, like, a 15-minute drive just down to the campsite. Holy shit, that would not have been fun.
Oh. So. Wow. Okay, well, I found some time. A little bit of time, anyway, to do something kind of cool. Last week, you and I were talking about HBO Now, how you had gotten it, and I'm probably right behind you.
Right.
Yeah, I was right behind you. So, I was waiting. The reason I was waiting is because, first of all, the main reason that I wanted HBO Now, not the only reason, but the main reason, was for Game of Thrones.
Fair enough.
And so I was thinking, you know what? I get a 30-day trial. I'm going to wait until the season is over, or almost over.
And then suck up the whole Game of Thrones season, right?
Right. I was going to binge watch Game of Thrones. I get the 30-day trial. If it turns out that HBO Now is not, you know, not worth $15 to me, then, you know, no harm, no foul. I didn't even, I got the 30 days free. Well, I kept getting all these messages, emails, and like little pop-up ads on Twitter saying that, you know, this is your last chance to get a 30-day free trial and all of this sort of thing. So I don't know if it's true or not, but I was like, fuck it, I'm not taking the chance. So
it was effective. And signed up for it.
Yeah, yes, very much. It's probably never going to go away. It's always going to be a 30-day free trial for all I know. But yeah, it was an effective thing. I went ahead and got HBO Now.
Okay, and your opinion on it is?
Well, for starters, I agree wholeheartedly with what you said last week, that it is a very simple setup. I was looking at HBO Now through my subscription within, I would say, less than 2 minutes
from
the time that I decided that I was getting it.
Yeah, very, very quick, very easy for iTunes users.
Yeah, I got it on my phone. It was a super fast download for the app on my Wi-Fi, and then it was another maybe 30 seconds to actually sign up.
Yep.
done. So,
like, you get done, so, and you're like, what else do I have to do? Where else is the catch?
Yeah, so I went over, you know, sat on the couch, went to the PlayStation. I was going to pull up the PlayStation store to go ahead and get the HBO Now thing. God damn it. I got to have Apple TV to be able to watch it on anything other than my Mac or on my phone or my iPad. Son of a bitch. This is another reason that I was waiting, because I was waiting for the new
Apple
version
TV.
Of Apple TV to come out, which is supposed to be out this summer. So $75 later on Amazon, I now have Apple TV. Which leads me directly into my next topic of conversation, Apple TV. Yeah, mixed feelings about Apple TV.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So, first of all, very simple. It's a very simple device. You just plug it in,
power,
turn it on.
Power cord, HDMI cord, and set up your network. Done.
Right. So it's kind of cool. It actually, you know, the way it comes up, it kind of reminded me of the Wii. How the Wii has all the little Wii apps or whatever.
Right, little squares.
Yeah. So it looked a lot like that. Looked a lot like that. So it's sort of a, you know, familiar looking platform. But it seems very disorganized to me. There is a shitload of apps on it. And it doesn't seem like there's very many of them that are free.
Okay.
Doesn't seem like there's very many that you know, just give you something. But luckily for me, I have about 10 million video on demand services that I'm subscribed to now. So I was like, hey, you know, my Apple ID with my iPhone and my iPad or whatever, it's got all this information in it. It's got all my, you know, Netflix account, user information. It's got, you know, Hulu. It's got Amazon. It's got all this stuff. So I was like, all right, cool. So I went in the settings. I entered my Apple ID, my password. Like, cool. All right. So first thing I do is I go to HBO Now, because this is actually why I bought the Apple TV. So the first thing I did was HBO Now. Went in there, and one of the options was I signed up for this through my iTunes account. So I clicked it, and sure as shit, fucking found my shit. Well, it asked me to enter my Apple ID and my password. I got, okay, well, I just did
it,
that.
It actually asked you for your Apple ID again?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, weird. But I was like, okay, you know, maybe, all right, maybe, you know, maybe it's like a verification or something. Okay, all right, cool. So I did that, entered it with the fucking remote, selecting each character, clicky, 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 select the next character. Click, 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 select the next character. So 15 minutes later, I'm in HBO Now. So I'm like, all right, so I'm sure that's the only time I'm going to have to do that. Okay, that's cool, whatever. Let's check out Netflix. Enter your account information. Son of a bitch. All right, so 15 minutes later, I'm in Netflix. Like, all right, well, it kind of sucked. Hulu Plus. Enter your account information. Son of a bitch. You see the trend here. So I spent probably about an hour fucking with the Apple TV and maybe about 5 minutes actually enjoying content on it. So now that it's all set up, I think I'm probably going to like it.
Oh, so you want to know the really funny part? I'm sure somewhere in your house you have a Bluetooth keyboard.
Oh, you mean like this one?
Yeah, and the Apple TV is Bluetooth capable. So,
oh, that wasn't in any of the materials that I read. Oh, damn it.
Yeah, so you... I actually have an old Bluetooth keyboard. I had. It's actually sitting up there now because nobody uses it anymore now that they're all set up. But I had one hooked up to it, so I could just done. Damn, so when I got my second Apple TV, it was a breeze setting that shit up.
I don't understand why there's not like an import settings. Like once you enter your Apple ID, why is this not cloud imported?
You know, I had never even considered that. I mean, it is connected to the cloud because it does register your purchased videos and music, and it will if you have iTunes Match, it'll sync up on that, and it will sync through your iCloud's photos. So I never even considered that, though. I mean, that might be something to channel up.
Yeah, or not even cloud. I mean, cloud would be great, but even if it just synced with the iTunes that's on your Wi-Fi network.
Yeah.
It's right there. I don't know. It could have been a lot simpler. But it seems pretty neat. But I am curious, though, how many of those apps actually have content in them that you don't need to pay for. Because most of the stuff that I clicked on, it asked me to sign up for an account. So, I don't know. I think it'd be really cool if there was some sort of sports, some sort of free thing on there where I could watch some sports. But
now you can, there are several of them that you can watch that are similar to YouTube, like Crunchyroll. I can't remember them all now. There are a lot of them. Once you actually create an account, you can put in there, and the account creation process is mostly a point of saving preferences and things like that. But you'll find that once you use the YouTube interface on there, you're like, this sucks.
Right.
I think the YouTube interface on the Apple TV is the worst YouTube interface I've experienced. So
it was pretty bad on the PS3.
All right. Yeah. That being said, sport networks.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So yeah.
This, folks, ESPN. Is what we call a failed lead-in.
Yes, and that would be my fail.
This is why we're still in beta.
Yes, that's one of the many reasons. So,
the ESPN. The 40-minute setup time is part of it as well.
Did you get ESPN? You're a cable subscriber.
I do.
To your now. Chagrin. Did you watch any ESPN? Particularly ESPN2 or even ESPN3?
No.
Oh.
No, the only sports ball I actually watch is NFL.
Yeah, well, see, a lot of the sports ball fans got pretty pissed off over the last week. ESPN3 has been airing something for quite a while, and it's flown under the radar because who the fuck watches ESPN3, seriously?
Mm-hmm.
So nobody knew about it. But something that was on ESPN3 got moved up to ESPN2 for their championships. And all hell broke loose with the sports ball fanatics. You remember several months ago we were talking about esports?
Yes.
Yeah, well, there's this little thing called Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, little thing, yeah. Little thing, okay.
Yeah, yeah, this little MOBA game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hugely popular. Extremely popular among college students, or at least that age demographic.
Okay, okay.
They had what they called Heroes of the Dorm, I think is what they named the tournament. So it was colleges squaring off against other colleges. So a college would put forth its best Heroes of the Storm team, and they would go against other colleges' best teams, and it was a tournament that was aired on ESPN3, and the final, I think it was the final eight, they aired that portion of the tournament. So the championship series, basically, they aired on ESPN2.
Okay.
Nerds everywhere rejoiced, and apparently this thing was like massive, like fanaticism was high.
Okay.
It was a big, huge event.
Understandably similar so.
Similar to the, what was it, League of Legends?
Yep.
That was huge in Korea, or yep. Is.
Yeah, it is.
Or in Japan, we'll just say Asia, for that matter. Yeah, this is similar scale here. But the sports ball super fans saw that it was on their precious ESPN2 and flipped a bitch. I guess they're okay with poker.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Is
bowling.
If you can sit there and watch the World Series of Poker while you're on the treadmill at the gym, fuck you.
Yeah. No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I like poker, and I've been known to watch a little bit of poker on TV. Occasionally, a little bit.
Right.
But it is pretty fucking boring. You have to know what's going on. You have to really give a shit and pay attention. But apparently this MOBA game that was aired was actually pretty damn exciting. I got geeks like Jeff Cannata, for example, on my Twitter feed, and this dude is like the biggest MOBA fanatic on the planet. So I keep getting this like live update of the tournament and stuff like that. And I guess like people were losing their minds, like just like at a real sports game, you know, how the fans are just, you know, going crazy. That's how it was at this event. And yeah, it was pretty exciting from all accounts.
Right. Except for the jocks.
Yeah, the jocks were pissed. So I don't know. I mean, really, what did they take off of ESPN2 to put this on? I mean, really.
World Series of Poker.
It's not like I'm saying.
or another.
I don't understand why they're so pissed.
Another pseudo sport, golf.
Right. Or bowling or something.
I fucking hate golf.
I forgot it. Crying out loud.
Bowling.
I mean, there's a lot of like iffy shit on ESPN2.
There's a lot of iffy shit on ESPN1.
Well,
I mean, how many times are you going to watch SportsCenter when they don't change shit for 6 hours at a time? But
good point.
That shit's still on there.
Oh man, yeah. See, you know, I like sports.
And any channel that shows really Mike and Mike in the morning shows a radio show in the morning that has so little personality between the two people. I mean, it's one thing when you know somebody and you can kind of go off what they say and it just flows in natural conversation, even if it's not a comfortable topic. It's another thing entirely when they're the exact same people. One's skinny, one's not so skinny. Oh my God, I hate that show.
Oh man, yeah. See, you know,
I'm sure we just lost a fan on that, but whatever.
Oh, sure. Well, so we're down to half our fan base.
Yeah, if you like Mike and Mike, fuck you.
Oh damn. But no, I mean, I like sports. I really do. But I don't know. I can't. I'm not the kind of guy that can just 24/7 just watch sports, regardless of the sport. You know, I'm a big football fan, and I like basketball, but, well, tennis is on, and golf is on, and bowling's on, but because it's a sport, I'm going to sit here and watch it, because, you know, I don't get the mentality, and I can't do it.
No, my man card does not need that insurance of knowing every sport in a fucking...
Right. So, I'm not really sure where the, where the sports ball super fans are. I just don't know why they're so pissed, because I don't think anything that they were going to watch was actually on. So, I don't know.
Also, if you have ESPN2, I guarantee you have about 100 other channels to watch.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So, there's that. Okay. All right.
Anyway, I thought that was interesting.
Full disclosure, ESPN and ESPN2 are owned by Disney. Well, they're technically owned by ABC, who's owned by Disney. And we are huge fans of Disney. Why? Because they're doing cool shit with Star Wars. So,
yep. And Marvel.
Yeah. Just to throw that out there. Geek World rejoice behind Disney. All right. So that was pretty much the longest geek thing of the week that you just ran through, which is cool.
That's about all I had. I got a couple other little things, but that's about
it. But you're all caught up on Game of Thrones, right?
No, not yet. I only watched... I didn't even finish the first episode.
What?
I got like 45 minutes into it, and then I had to go to karate. And then, yeah, I just haven't had a chance to get back to it.
Failing
but I will
at life.
Very soon.
I can't wait until you catch up to me. Since you've read the books, and I had read the books up until the end of the last season, and now... episode 2 pretty much caught up to where I was in the books. I'm really looking forward to you and I having a conversation about the what I believe are departures from the storyline.
Yeah. So I've already, with the first episode, I've already noticed a couple of things.
Yep. Yep.
But this, I don't want to make this a spoiler show. So
right, right. We'll save that for other people. Yeah. Okay. So, so TED Talks this week. I understand you didn't have time to watch one, which is cool.
Yep.
I kind of went overboard and watched one that was 3 minutes long.
So this is the minimal TED episode.
Well, I don't even know because I was clicking through what's called hidden gems on the website and just kind of clicking through looking for something that's interesting. I was like, that one's all right. That one's all right. That one's all right. And it said a story of mixed emoticons. And I was like,
huh.
All right. You got me there. All right. Hit play. And I was watching it, and basically this dude, Reeves, man, I wish they would just say their names at the beginning of it. this dude, he's a poet, but he does poetry in kind of odd ways. And he basically told a poem written in emoticons that is about 3 minutes long, about a girl or about a guy who notices a girl and his efforts to persuade her to go on a date with him.
Okay.
And it was the way that it was written, the way it's presented, I thought were perfect, but you have to watch this, not one that you can actually listen to because you'll get the effect of the poem, but you will not get the effect of the visual representation of it in emoticons. Pretty much the entire poem was written in emoticons.
Huh.
And it's very, very interesting. So cool. I would recommend going and watching that. That's Rives, a story of mixed emoticons. And of course we'll have the link in the show notes.
Yeah. Oh, you know what's really cool?
What?
TED is a channel on Apple TV.
Yes.
Yeah, I was very pleased to see that, actually.
That's actually where I saw the one about Monica Lewinsky.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And that was our TED section for this week.
All right.
I'm such a bumper geek. Man, I love that shit.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
So, there you go.
So, all Lucas right. did something really freaking cool this week.
Yeah? Yeah.
He's a bit of an AV nerd.
Right.
And
this I knew. Okay.
Yeah. So he and his friends created a documentary. Now, granted, it was kind of for a class, but whatever. It was still creative and it was still a thing. The class that he's in, they participate in a film festival. There's a film festival that basically encompasses Southern New Mexico.
Okay.
I think that's the extent of their range. But it's called the Desert Light Film Festival.
Okay, so this is basically a regional thing. It's not just Alamogordo. And not just his school or anything like that. It's actually part of the state at least.
Yes, yes. It's definitely regional. It like I said, I believe it is only Southern New Mexico. But I right now I couldn't tell you what other schools were involved. But there's a theater here in town, not a movie theater, but a stage theater,
right? An arts theater,
where the awards presentation took place. And when I went in there, the place was filled with students,
right?
Middle school all the way up through high school. Place was filled, and it was all the participants of this film festival. Well, anyhow, Lucas and a few of his friends or
classmates.
I don't even know if they're friends. We'll say classmates to be on the safe side. They may or may not be friends. Well, anyway, they put together a documentary, and the name of it was The History of the Alamogordo Sawmill, which the sawmill in Alamogordo, if you learn about the history of that, you're basically learning the history of Alamogordo.
Okay. Because
that's kind of what the founding of the town was. It was based on the sawmill for the lumber industry. So anyway, it was an interesting subject. And that was the thing that they presented to the film festival, and they won first place for best documentary.
Nice.
So it was pretty cool. It's on YouTube now, and the show notes will have a link. So
now
check it out.
Does Lucas actually appear in the documentary anywhere?
He does not, and his voice isn't even in it.
Okay, but so what part did he actually have on it? What was his role with the documentary?
He had a hand in a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but his main role, where his hand was the heaviest, was in post-production film editing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So.
So what you're saying is he might be able to help with this show.
Yeah, <That'd> be great. Have to get him on here this summer and. See what he can do.
Yeah. Very cool. Very, very cool. Well, what else you got this week, man? I know it's kind of a light week with so much going on. But what else you got?
Yeah, that's really that's about all I had to present this week.
Okay. I'm going to make it somber the mood a little bit. This is our 34th beta episode. It is the 32nd actually published episode. We have missed, I believe, 1 week in the last 34 weeks, 35 weeks rather.
One or two, yeah.
Right. I know I missed one show, but we as a unit have missed, I believe, 1 week where we did not publish at all. We are leaps and bounds over our idols when they were at this stage in their production. I think we're doing pretty well. I think I need to stop saying so much, and I need to work on my mic technique. You need to work on containing your conversation to the major points and not rambling, which you've actually done pretty good with tonight. But yeah. I'm getting ready to go to Korea. I fly out Monday morning. We will not, well, at this point in time, we are not planning on having a show next week. That is subject to change, but at this point in time, we're not planning on having a show next week. And I was thinking about that, and there is the distinct possibility that this could be our last Ritual Misery podcast, at least for a long while, until things flesh out, timing gets right, or I just leave Korea. So there is a possibility this could be our last one for a very extended period of time.
It's definitely possible.
With that being said, I want to say thank you to the fans that are listening, because we do have a small but growing fan set that I'm very, very proud to claim. That's not just our family.
we love them too.
I want to say thank you to a few individuals outside of us. First of all, Richard Gunther. He's had much feedback and very honest opinions, things that kind of straightened us out and got us more focused on what we're actually doing. And being a fellow podcaster and a friend, he's been able to give us a little bit different light. Who's that dude that does Podcast Method? I can't remember his name.
Dan Benjamin.
For his tips and his Podcast Method podcast, for the plethora of knowledge in that podcast. It came about halfway through our history now, but I think we both learned quite a bit from it, and our show is better for it. And then, of course, our idols, the people we aspire to have podcasts such as The Night Attack Show with Justin Robert Young and Brian Brushwood, Tom Merritt, go all the way back to Molly Wood for that matter. You've got a couple that I don't listen to per se that you do, so if you want to list those real quick.
Oh, yeah. Anthony Carboni, Jeff Cannata. You mentioned Jury, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Scott Johnson.
Oh, of course, Scott, yeah. There's more. Yeah. There's more.
So with this possibly being the last one for quite a while, I want to make sure that we threw out some shout-outs to those people that really inspired us and really keep us going, and the people that even if we can't make a show, we'll still listen to. And a huge thank you to especially Mrs. Bonnie Brushwood for criticizing us on all of our ums.
Yeah.
Which we still, yeah. Well, I have still yet to fix. We really appreciate it. It's great to be part of a podcasting community that is so helpful and so open and so able to direct people in the right direction so quickly. And I would like to be one day be one of those people that other people are looking up to see how we did it and where we've gone with it. So overall, I just want to say a huge thank you to everyone who's ever listened to our show.
Yeah, I can't say it better than you did. I want to echo everything that you said. Just thank you, guys and gals. Thank you, everyone. Thanks to all those that personally support us, and thank you to just everyone that's even listened to the show once. That's, you know, that's awesome.
Especially if you're listening to this episode.
Yeah. It's hard for us to thank you if you're not listening to this one. But yeah, it just, you know, anybody that has anything to do with us or this show, thanks a lot.
Now, that being said, you did produce the last episode. You will most likely produce this episode.
Yep.
And we've kind of got a little running joke going where I like to take things out of context and kind of twist things around during the bumpers and the pre-show and the post-show. So regarding your last episode published, Beta 33, in which the beginning of the episode you heard the recording, the unintentional recording of me dropping some serious ass and the comedy thereafter. Fuck you, man.
Oh, you're welcome.
I will. I'll keep that in mind when I pick back up on the producing after this PCS is over with.
Well, I was the butt of the jokes for probably the first 20 episodes.
Right, which is right where you belong. I don't understand why you want to switch shit up now. We had a formula that was working. I don't know.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah, that being said, if you do want to keep this show going and you want to show us that you appreciate what we're doing and you want to support us, you can cruise on over to ritualmisery.com, click on the Amazon banner, or you hit the support page, and there's multiple ways over there. But you click on the Amazon banner, you buy some stuff on Amazon, it doesn't cost you anything extra. Couple cents of per dollar get kicked back to us, and we really appreciate it. We can be found on Twitter. I'm at Ethan Kane.
I'm at RM_Del Noche.
Yeah, we gotta find you a better one, man. We might have to change both of our names eventually.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about that recently.
Yeah,
this is gonna be it for the moment, but yeah.
Yeah. But you can also follow the show at Ritual Misery, which was given to us by Jeremy, our friend Jeremy. He released that one to us because he's been using that one for years, but not using it. He's had that one clean for years and just never used it.
He was squatting.
Yeah, he was Twitter name squatting. He was twatting. What? If you want some, if you got something you want us to talk about, or something that you'd like explained in the military life, or just what all the stuff that we happen to like, so you can submit those ideas on our subreddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com. You can email us at podcast@ritualmisery.com. You can find everything else about us at ritualmisery.com. You can call and leave us a voicemail, 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. The great music that we have on our show is courtesy of Kevin McLeod on incomptech.com. Thank you for listening. For Kent, for me, and for you, this is your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.